A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, we often talk about the fact that whenever there a problem comes up in our society, our natural reaction is to do something. I think we all have the echo of our mother in the back of our mind saying, you know, don't just stand there, do something. And sometimes we should not do something. We should just stand there. And sometimes when it comes to the big problems of the day, everyone wants to say, well, we're doing something. Recently, Senator Lindsey Graham was floating an idea. Interesting. He's proposing that we require licensing for social media companies. Now, that doesn't seem like a bad idea at first. It seems like, oh, hey, we can do something. Let's do something. But we have to look at that licensing. Obviously, you have to have a license to drive a car. You have to have a license to be a doctor. But when you really slow down and you really step back and think about it, what will that actually do? And it could put a lot of power in the hands of the government as it relates to free speech. And so you got to be able to get all the way through that. And when we're trying to navigate that, we turn to our inside source, Shoshana Weissman, digital director at the R Street Institute and a fellow there in occupational licensing and social media policy. So Shoshana, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You had a great piece in the National Review talking about licensing social media companies and whether that is a knee-jerk reaction of, you know, don't stand there, do something, and maybe we should not do something and just stand there for a minute. Break it down for us.
Oh, my gosh. It's so sad. This is the marriage of my two least favorite things, bad licensing ideas and bad social media regulatory policy, which is not great. But Senator Lindsey Graham has said this for a couple of years now. He's made statements basically saying, why don't we just license these platforms? So, okay, well, one problem there is he said part of the reason he wants to is because no federal agency has jurisdiction. Well, that would be news to the FTC, which has fined the largest social media companies billions of dollars. He also says you can't sue social media platforms. That's also not true. You can sue them for their speech, but you can't sue them for other people's speech. Snapchat is going through a court case about one of their filters, and there have been other cases, too. And then, so one of the big First Amendment precedents is that you have to be careful when you have prior restraints from speech, basically stopping speech before it starts. That still violates the First Amendment, and you have to consider it that could be a violation unless there's a really good reason for it. All amendments have some level of exception. But this would be a prior restraint on speech in pursuit of what? Just licensing all trails, licensing Twitter, Facebook. This is the way he's going. And I think anyone who is like, hey, you know, I'm conservative and President Biden is in power. Would you trust him to regulate Rumble or would you trust him to shut it down? And, you know, platforms are critical of the government. If there's speech there that criticizes the government, maybe the government won't want that speech there. It's stuff people should be considering.
Yeah, the licensing component of that is also fascinating to me. And I just want to back up a half a step just so our listeners can really let that soak in terms of the fact that there is a lot of regulatory pieces already in place. You mentioned that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, had put a $5 billion penalty on Facebook and some of those. And so break that down for us a little bit in terms of – so there is some oversight going on. And then where should that line be in terms of that oversight versus that free speech component? That's the real test.
Yeah, for sure. And there's oversight in different things. Like if they commit financial fraud, you know, they would be liable for that if they – directly harm someone in a way that's illegal, they would be liable. So all existing laws already apply to them, just like they do to any company. Senator Graham has issues with the way they operate and wants to license them. And regulating to prevent speech you don't like really is against, you know, First Amendment principles. That's kind of why we have the First Amendment, because the government will try to crack down on speech it doesn't like. And that's basically what he's doing here. And there are licenses for speech. Like tour guides are often licensed by the government in different states and localities. But when brought to court, they're ruled unconstitutional because, like, if someone gives you a bad tour, like, that's bad, but it's not like you should have a license to do that thing bad. And I think the same kind of principle would hold true here.
Yeah, I think that's also really interesting to look at in terms of those kinds of frameworks and what it is. And I think it's important for us to think through, you know, you may say, well, I wouldn't trust the Biden administration to do this or to regulate this. And you can flip it. If there was a Republican in the White House in the executive branch driving that, would they take out certain elements of free speech? And we know all of that doesn't end well when the government can kind of pick and choose who to regulate, who to license, and ultimately who to shut down or who to build up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that, you know, conservatives would trust Biden to regulate speech, nor should they, or that liberals would trust Trump or, you know, a conservative in the presidency and his administration to regulate speech. And I think with every regulation, it's really important to make sure that they're clear, that they're concise, that they're focused, and that they won't be abused by the other party when they're in power or by your own party. But I know a lot of people don't think that way. I'd work out there in a way that not everyone does. But I think it's something really important. And I think that's something Senator Graham definitely isn't thinking through, which is disappointing for such a fundamental right.
Yeah, so important. And anything else you're keeping your eye on that we should – obviously, there's a lot of talk right now, especially as it relates to the impact of social media on our children. And some of these get really murky and muddy as they get smashed together in some of these very sweeping kind of proposals like Senator Graham's. What else should we be watching for in these discussions, particularly around social media, that as parents, as consumers, that we got to keep our eye on?
Thank you. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the energy right here for regulation is all around kids. And it's understandable. You want to keep kids safe online. But I have a blog series coming out soon that'll go through. Right now, I think I'm at like 9,000 words, and I'm a pretty brief writer. It's going to be a series of different stuff to consider. And it ranges from cybersecurity risks that some of these proposals to create to how these proposals could actually turn our children into federal criminals if they lie about their age. Mm. And, like, unfortunately, there's massive issues here that, you know, I know they want to protect kids and they have good hearts in legislating, but there's real major normative and constitutional issues with what they're doing.
Yeah. And anything else on the horizon on Capitol Hill in terms of movement, either at the committee level or actual legislation?
Yeah. In Senate Judiciary, like, every week they're hearing a bunch of new legislation. The Earn It Act always gets out of committee, but usually doesn't go further. And that bill can penalize encryption, which is, you know, it keeps users safe. It transmits information in a more secretive way. But if you're penalizing encryption, then these companies won't use encryption, which is bad for consumers. There's a couple of different kids online bills that that are making their way through both state legislatures. Not Utah's anymore since Utah session's done. You guys kind of already did yours, and I'm not super happy about it. And a couple of federal ones, too, that follow in that same spirit, all different kind of means. And for what it's worth, I think in a lot of cases that they are carefully drafted. They are very thoughtful, but they're still missing major, major pieces here.
Yeah, you really have to look downstream in terms of a lot of those implications. Again, it sounds good. It looks like motion at the top, but we've got to get the forward movement that's sustainable and play it all the way out. And as always, Shoshana Weissman, Digital Director at R Street Institute. She's a fellow there in occupational licensing, social media policy, always helps us navigate all of this. Thanks for joining us again today, Shoshana.
Thank you so much.
All right. Again, that's Shoshana Weissman from the R Street Institute. And it's so hard. The restraint always works and just process matters. And so I think what Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, has been putting forward in terms of this licensing, again, it sounds good at the high level. I don't know that it either does the job. And I think it undermines a host of other things in the process. And so that's why you got to slow it down. Get it through committee, really vet it, really think it through, all the implications, ramifications. What does that mean? What does that mean? Is it does your child end up being a federal criminal if they lie about their age going onto an adult website? There's a host of things that they've got to work through on all of these issues. And it's one of those where we just have to make sure we go through the process, not just the knee-jerk reaction or a bill that sounds good or a piece of legislation that might just feel good at the front end. We have to make sure it does the job and actually moves the conversation forward. All right, we're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. When we come back, more Inside Sources coming up next on KSL News Radio.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.